Good morning. Good to see you. Looks like we're going to have a beautiful day out there today. We're going to head into John 16 in a moment, so if you want to get yourselves over there in your devices or Bibles, that'll give you a head start. Before we start digging in the message today, back on the serving window, there are three gray boxes. And in those three gray boxes are lost and found items. Some of you are missing some things. And you might want to check it out. You also might want to go check out the coat rack, because I've been praying for some of you because you've been cold for weeks because your coats have been there. So anyway, just to give you a heads up, there's some Bibles, there's some jewelry, there's some kids' toys, and you might want to check those out on your way out, and you're going to go, oh, that's where that is. Or anyway, so we're just trying to help you out there. This morning, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of having something, a tool or a device that you're using to some benefit, but then someone comes along and shows you a whole bunch of other things you can do with it that you had no clue about. This happens to me on a regular basis, especially when it comes to technology. You get around your grandkids, and they see you doing something, they think, Grandpa, why are you doing it that way? You can just do this. I found out just recently that there is a lady that lives in my cell phone named Siri. And I don't know how she got there, but she's in there because I've talked to her, and she can do tons of stuff. Up until recently when I needed to remember something, for instance, I'd take out my phone, and I'd go to my calendar, and then I'd pull up the task list, and then I hit the plus button, and then I'd type in my task, and then I'd hit the date button, and then I'd go into the time button, and I'd hit the time that I wanted, and then at the end, I would save it all. I found out I can just say that to my phone, and it all just happens when it's supposed to. It's an amazing thing. One day, I saw someone push their button and say, Siri, do this, and I was open to a whole new world, and just so it's an amazing thing. I also found out recently that, and this is one of my pet peeves. I watch my kids, my wife too. They open up that little keyboard, and it's like this. And me, when I open that little keyboard, it's so I don't like texting, and I like doing that. So I found out again. I found out that all I had to do was talk to my phone, and it would write out my text for me. Then I also found out that you need to proofread what it wrote out. Okay, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. We've been talking for a number of weeks now about the amazing Holy Spirit and His involvement in our life. And we found out that when we accepted Christ's death on the cross on our behalf, when we accepted that offer of forgiveness that He is offering because He paid the penalty, He paid the price on the cross, that at the very moment when we accept that offer of salvation and eternal life, the Holy Spirit takes us and places us into the body of Christ, the church, but then He also comes and lives within us. And just some amazing, amazing things we're finding out. But that is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the Holy Spirit's impact on our lives. There are all kinds of ministries that He was willing to do in us and through us, wants to do in us and through us. And so this morning, we're going to start by looking into some of those ministries so we can take advantage of them, so that we can actually see His work in our lives in ways that maybe we never even imagined that he could do and we could be a part of. So, honestly, we could spend weeks and weeks looking at the Holy Spirit and all the things that He does so much. In fact, for instance, He was involved in creation. I don't know if you remember way back when we started this series, but we found out that even before the 7 days of creation, the Holy Spirit was hovering above the earth, we found out, and we read about that. He was actually down here on earth. We found out that the Holy Spirit was involved in, if you read your scriptures, involved in the building of the tabernacle. When the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness and God gave Moses instruction for building the tabernacle, He then empowered certain craftsmen to do what was beyond their ability in making these various articles that were going to be part of their worship and even parts of the tent that were a part of it. The Holy Spirit was involved in placing God the Son in Mary's womb, we find out in Scripture. We're told that the things that Jesus accomplished on earth while He was here, He accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit. He relied on the Holy Spirit just like we rely on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was involved in sustaining Jesus through that whole part of the crucifixion, the beatings and all that went on during that time. It was the Holy Spirit's power, we're going to find out. And this is going to become significant as we look at our benefits, but it was the Holy Spirit's power who actually rose Jesus from the dead. These are all things that we could, and so much more we could be looking at in Scripture regarding the Holy Spirit. But we're going to focus, though, in these last few weeks on the Holy Spirit's involvement in our lives as followers of Christ, as those who have accepted Jesus as our Savior, and now the Holy Spirit lives within us. And so, Gospel of John, chapter 16. Now, we've studied this section before, a couple of years ago, or maybe last year. We spent a little time in John 16. But let me remind us again of the context. Jesus, we're talking hours now before he's going to go to the cross, before the crucifixion. And then what he says in that's recorded in John 16, it's a process where he is trying to prepare his disciples for what's about to happen. So John 16, and I want to read verses 12 through 15, and then we'll go back and focus in on a couple of the other verses. Starting with verse 12, John 16. This is Jesus speaking. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that's why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. That's just another way of saying if all this that belongs to the Father is Jesus, and then the Spirit's going to take what Jesus has and give it to us, then we have those same privileges. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Verse 16, a little while you will see me no more, but then after a little while you will see me again. I want to look at these verses, read them again. I want to read it from the Message translation. That's Eugene Peterson's translation. That's modern English. I like the way he puts things sometimes, and sometimes he's a good commentary on what's being said. So let me read these again. I'll put them up for you to follow along, but let me read them again from the Message. He, talking about the Holy Spirit, won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen, and indeed, out of all that I have done, talking about Jesus, and said. He will honor me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. That is why I've said he takes from me and delivers to you. Now, I think this is an important place to start this morning as we talk about the ministry and the ministries of the Holy Spirit when it involves us in our lives as followers of Christians. It's important because I think what Jesus is laying out in verses 14 and 15, but that whole section there is the primary ministry that the Holy Spirit has. Now, there's lots of other things he does, and we're going to talk about these things, but this is his main thing. This is the primary responsibility he has, and we're told here that he won't draw attention to himself. He will honor me, talking about Jesus. Why is this so important? Why am I starting here? Because one of the questions that often comes up in our worship, in our ministry, and things we see happening in the world around us is, all right, is this the Holy Spirit? Is he the one that is doing this? Or is this something else? And we'll talk a little bit about what something else is in a moment as well. So how do I decipher the things that are actually the work of the Holy Spirit or something that just is being claimed to be done by the power of the Holy Spirit? This is kind of important right now. If you've been following the news at all, I'm sure a lot of you have seen or read or heard about things that are going down in Kentucky right now at Asbury University. It's been and it's reportedly it's spreading to other schools as well. There is, as being pertained to a working of the Holy Spirit. That's powerful. How many of you have read about that and heard about it? Okay, pretty big deal. Just what seems to be happening. So the obvious question is, I mean, the claim is it's the Holy Spirit, and so then the obvious question is, how do I know? How do I know for sure that this is the Holy Spirit? Is this the work of the Spirit or not? Because that is what's being claimed. Well, John, the apostle, is sharing with us here. He's saying, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, his main thing is to point people to Jesus Christ. In fact, you don't have to go to it, but I'm going to go over to 1 John. Later on, towards the end of John's ministry, actually, he writes a letter. It's called 1 John in our Bibles. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, John says to us, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit." Don't believe everything that claims to be from God, is basically what he's saying. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. John's saying, be careful. He's telling the believers, and this is early in the Christian movement, he's saying, be careful. Just because something claims to be from God doesn't necessarily mean it is. Be careful. Test the spirits. Well, if you go on, I'm not going to go on, but you can go on and read. What he says is, going on to verse 2 and on through there, he says, if it is the Holy Spirit, legitimately the Holy Spirit, what it's going to do is lead towards a focus on Jesus Christ. More people are going to come to Christ. There will be believers who have maybe wandered away who are going to be restored in that relationship and that fervor for Christ. So John says, don't just accept just because it claims to be from the Holy Spirit. If it is from the Holy Spirit, then it is going to point to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're told the same thing here in John 16. He, the Holy Spirit, will honor Jesus. If it's of the Holy Spirit, then it will point people to Christ. It will cause an outflowing of people either coming to Christ for the first time or refocusing their life on Christ. Because why? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't honor himself. He doesn't draw attention to himself. He draws attention to Jesus Christ. Remember, we looked at this a few weeks ago, that day called the Day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit, as prophesied, as promised, came on followers of Christ and indwelt them for the first time. In the Old Testament, we talked about this, the Holy Spirit would come and go when it was needed. But in prophecy, we are told that there would come a day when the Holy Spirit would actually come and live in the followers of God, indwell them. And that happened the first time on the day of Pentecost. And then we walked through Acts quickly and saw other places where it happened. Do you remember, though? Okay, the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost comes on the followers of Christ. What do they do? Do they celebrate the Holy Spirit? Do they talk about the Holy Spirit? Well, briefly, they say, this was prophesied. Don't let this surprise you. But then they immediately go into sharing Christ, telling everybody about Jesus Christ. Peter, the guy who was a coward just days before, stands up in front of all these crowds of people and says, this day is the day that is pointing to what the prophets have said, and we want you to know that you need to accept Jesus Christ. In fact, he's so brave and so courageous, he says, you need to accept Christ, the one that you crucified. Because there's a lot of, there are mostly Jews out there. You're out there shouting, crucify him, crucify him. You need to know that was the Savior, that's the Messiah we're waiting for. And remember what happened that day. Over 3,000 people came to Christ. Because that's what the Holy Spirit happened, or it makes happen. That's what he points to. There's something else to think about here, and just maybe it looks like I'm hitting too many details, but I want you to know, and I'm open to being proven wrong, but we are never told in the Scriptures to pray to the Spirit. We're never told to do that. In fact, my personal opinion is we shouldn't. Well, we're told to pray. Remember when Jesus said, hey, let me give you a model prayer. Remember how he said we should begin our prayers? You've all quoted it many times. Our Father. Pray to the Father. Pray to God the Father. We're never told in Scriptures to pray to the Spirit. Why? Well, the Spirit doesn't speak for himself. He's not about himself. He's here to point to and to honor Jesus Christ. That's all. That's his main thing. That's his mission, is to point people towards Christ. Either people who are believers but are not close in their walk with Christ, and if they'll allow the Holy Spirit to get a hold of them, if they'll allow him to be in charge, he's going to make them want to be like Christ. That's what their day is going to be like. Lord, I want to be like my Savior. If they're not a Christian, we'll talk about this in a moment, he's going to point those that don't know the Lord yet to Christ, that they need to know the Lord. He speaks for Christ. Early on, still in John, chapter 14, verse 26, and I got to find my place because I am not where I want to be. We'll get here in a second, maybe. Here we are. Chapter 14 of John, verse 26, he says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send you in, who, what? In my name, in Jesus' name, will remind you of everything I, Jesus, have said to you. What's the Holy Spirit about? He's about Jesus. He's going to point people to Jesus Christ. He's going to remind the disciples. In fact, the Gospels that we're looking at, John's Gospel right now, is a product of the Holy Spirit reminding John of those times when he was walking and listening and sitting at the feet of Jesus and things that Jesus said, and the Holy Spirit is now reminding him of all those things, and he's writing them down in his gospel so that we can know about Jesus, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. Now, let me back this away a little bit. Is it some kind of a cardinal sin to pray to the Holy Spirit? No. No, you're not going to lose your salvation if you pray to the Holy Spirit. God, I don't even think God's going to discipline you praying to the Holy Spirit or refuse to respond. But in my opinion, it's showing an ignorance of the Scripture and a lack of attention to God's instructions as Christians. One of the things we're told, we'll look at this more later, but one of the things we're told that the Holy Spirit does for us is when we pray, sometimes we don't even know how to pray. Now, I interpret that too. Sometimes I don't know how to pray about a situation, you know, and I think that's true. Sometimes, you know, there's a situation that's happening in someone's life, and it's complicated, and we're not really sure. Lord, I don't know if I should pray that they be delivered from this, or that they should keep going through it because there's things they still need to learn. And so I don't know how to pray about this, God, and so I'm just going to trust the Holy Spirit to decipher what needs to be said here. So, and I think that is involved in the Holy Spirit taking our prayers and translating them. But I think also sometimes we just pray wrong, you know. And God's not going to, boy, until you say it right, I'm not listening. That's not the way God is. But I kind of see the Holy Spirit, you know, in maybe a situation, excuse me, like that, you know. So we pray. May we pray to the Holy Spirit. And then, so the Spirit jumps in there and he says, hey, God, Holy Spirit here. Sorry, this guy doesn't know how to pray properly. He's only been a Christian for a little while, and he had some bad teaching down the way. And so he prayed to me. And so I'm going to translate it. Father, this is for you. Let me translate his prayers. Our Father. And Lord, sorry about that, Father God. He'll get it eventually. You know, that's kind of what I see happening. That's my imagination. It may be nothing like that, but so it's important. I want you to understand that God is a gracious God. And the Holy Spirit's job is to help sometimes when we pray wrong, when we don't know how to pray, when we go about it wrong, to decipher. I mean, I've had prayers with new believers that had some words thrown in there that I'm sure the Holy Spirit blanked out. You know, if there's beeps in prayers, those were beeped out. But the heart of God is that he loves that person, and he's so glad that they're talking to him. But it's important to understand in the working of the Holy Spirit that the Spirit is going to point us to Christ. That's his main thing. And so we can decipher in those situations where folks are saying, hey, this is the Holy Spirit working. Well, okay, let's watch. Because if the result of that working of the Spirit, as is claimed to be, is that suddenly there are throngs of people coming to Christ, or one person coming to Christ. The Bible says, heavens rejoice when just one person accepts that offer. So if that's the result of this working of the Holy Spirit, then that points to the fact that, yes, it is the Holy Spirit, because that's what he does. Or if the working, what's being claimed as the working of the Holy Spirit, causes a group of people or a few people or one person to be reignited in their confidence and their trust and their relationship with Jesus Christ, yeah, I'd say that's definitely a work of the Spirit. So this helps us to decipher those things. I'm watching what's going on down in Ashbury, like the rest of you and the other schools. And here's what I'm watching for. What's this going to point to? Are we going to see many folks, those students that are going through this amazing time and walking, are we going to see them go out now and share the message of Christ, and people are coming to Christ because of that? Are we going to see in their own hearts just a repentance and a response to Jesus, wanting to be close to Jesus again? Or is it all going to be an internal thing where you find people praying to the Holy Spirit and everything's focused on refocusing on the Holy Spirit? Because that's not ever what the Holy Spirit does. He does not focus on himself. He does not draw attention to himself. And so this helps us as we try to decipher these things to know what is going on and how to know if it's from God or not. So, and this seemed very important to Jesus that his disciples understood this, because he talks a lot about it, especially towards the end when he's telling them that the Holy Spirit is coming, knowing that there's going to be situations that are going to be coming up in the days ahead where there will be lots of things happening that it claimed to be from God. And he's saying, let me show you how to decipher whether it is or not, and how to worship and pray correctly, and just how much this helper, the Holy Spirit, is going to do for you. Incidentally, while we're on this subject, we're also told in the Scriptures that even before we were Christians, when in fact we were at enmity with God, we were running from God, even back then, before we ever came to this decision and understood what Jesus Christ was doing on the cross and how it was for our benefit, that it was actually the Holy Spirit's ministry in our life. He wasn't in us yet, but he worked in our life to help us know that we needed a Savior, that in fact I am a sinner in need of a Savior. He's the one that opened my eyes to that. Again, drawing my attention and your attention to Jesus Christ. Remember the night when the Pharisee came to talk to Jesus, Nicodemus, John chapter 3. In John 3:16, is in that conversation with Nicodemus. And so Nicodemus comes, the Pharisee comes during the night to talk to Jesus. And remember, he starts by trying to sideline him about worship and other things. And Jesus directly talks to him, takes him right to the point. And he says, in fact, John 3:5, he says, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Born of water. You know, physically we have to be born. But until I've been born of the Spirit, until the Spirit has directed me towards my need of a Savior in my life, and then when I accept that, remember, then he places me in the body of Christ and comes to live within me. All that is wrapped up in the Holy Spirit and his responsibility, his heart towards leading people towards Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul wrote, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. The only reason you ever came to understand that Jesus is in fact God in the flesh, he is the Lord, he's the Messiah that the Jews were waiting for. No one would ever come to an understanding that that is true unless the Holy Spirit helps them understand that. And that's why you have friends, family, people you run into that don't get that. That they say, well, yeah, Jesus is a good person, but he wasn't God. Their eyes have not been opened by the Holy Spirit yet. Or they're refusing to listen to the direction of the Holy Spirit in their life. Also, in 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote in chapter 2, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. It's the Holy Spirit who pointed us to the free gift that God was offering, Jesus Christ. This is his ministry. His ministry is to point towards Christ, to help us understand the words of Christ, to help us understand what it means to be a follower of Christ, to look like our Savior. One more verse in Titus. Paul wrote to Titus, he said, he saved us not because of righteous things we'd done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit from the get-go. From even before we were Christian, the Holy Spirit has been moving our direction, moving our sight, moving our heart towards Christ, because that's what he does. That's his mission. That's what he is all about. The Holy Spirit is directly involved in helping us understand that we need a Savior, and then when we accept that Savior, that we need to focus our life on him. And then he comes and lives within us and indwells us. We're not nearly done. We've got a whole bunch more things to look at. But I want to stop there this morning. And I'm reading a book right now written by a guy named Bob Goff. It's a good book. I'd really recommend it. It's called Undistracted. You know, undistracted. You feel pretty distracted in your life. So many things that can distract us. Sometimes they seem to be good things, but they're distracting us from the best. And so I've enjoyed the book. But in chapter 6, Bob Goff tells a story. He has a really good friend, young friend, couple decades younger than him, I believe. And he's just one of these phenomenal guitarists. And he's watched him since he was a boy when he first started playing and practicing and getting better and better. And just recently, within the last couple years, his young friend got asked to be on Carrie Underwood's band, play guitar for Carrie Underwood's band. And he personally didn't know much about Carrie Underwood, but his friend, his guitarist friend, young friend, sent him a message, and he said, hey, we're going to be in your area in a couple of months. Would you like a ticket to come and see Carrie Underwood's performance? Well, he didn't care much about that, although I like Carrie Underwood, but he didn't. But he did want to see his friend, and he wanted to see him play the guitar. And so he said, yeah, I'd love it. That'd be fantastic. And so his friend, all right, he says, I'm gonna have it all set up. When you get to the stadium, go to Will Call. Is that what it's called, Josh? Where do they go? Go to Will Call. And I'll have a ticket there for you waiting. Just tell them your name and they'll give it to you. And so he did. He got there and he went to Will Call and he got his ticket. And then he took the ticket and he started climbing stairs because he figured, you know, free ticket, it's going to be way up there somewhere. And so he got up to the top and not knowing his way around, he walked over to the usher. He says, hey, I have this ticket for this concert. Could you tell me where my seat is? And the guy looks at it. He caught his flashlight out and looked at it. He says, sir, you're in the wrong section. And he said, you see down there on the floor, down where the stage is? You're down there. So he went all the way downstairs. He got down to the stairs and to the main floor. And again, he went to an usher and he says, here, I have this ticket. Could you tell me where my chair is? And he looked at the ticket. He said, sir, you're in the wrong area. You see up there by the stage, there's a roped off section with seats and, you know, the cushions and everything on them. He says, you're up there. You need to go up there. And so he took it. He went up there and he got to the usher that's keeping people out of the roped area. And he says, I was told that this ticket will put me in this roped off area right by the stage. And is that right? And the usher looked at it. He says, this is called an all access ticket. You can go anywhere you want, buddy. He said, in fact, you can go backstage to certain places if you'd like to. So pick your spot. And he says, here he was. He had this ticket. He had no idea what he had. No clue at all. He thought he was going to be sitting up there with binoculars. And he was happy with that. Binoculars, if he could just get to see his friend play the guitar, then he was good with that. God says, in you, as a follower of Christ, lives the Holy Spirit. And we know a little bit about him, but I suspect most of us don't have a clue what lives within us and what he wants to do And I want us to spend the next couple of weeks getting a real good feel for the way the Holy Spirit wants to minister in you and me and through you and me. So Lord willing, we'll dig into some more of that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives within us. So grateful that there was that day when you opened, through the power of the Holy Spirit, my eyes to the fact that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And Lord, and then God the Spirit, when I accepted your offer, your gift of forgiveness and eternal life, placed me into your body. And that's an eternal standing. And then he came to live within me. What an amazing thing, Lord. And Lord, you know there are times when I can get my focus off of my Savior. Your word tells me I'm supposed to use him as an example. I need to, my desire, my heart should be that I be like Jesus. And yet I can lose that focus quickly. And thank you that the Holy Spirit who lives within me is always pointing me back to Jesus. Thank you for your word and for helping us understand things. And I do pray for this phenomena that's happening right now that's touching a lot of young people's lives. I pray that what we discover it is in fact a powerful working of the Holy Spirit, and that the result is many, many, many people come into a personal relationship with Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that those believers that are a part of this experience, that their fervor, their passion for their Savior just is completely reignited. And as a result, wonderful things take place. Pray these things, Father, in your Son's name. Amen.
Well, church, before we leave, if you want to continue this discussion on the Holy Spirit, we do have an adult Sunday school that meets right down the hall here in about 10 minutes. Other than that, I want to remind you quickly that this Wednesday, our family night start up again. Come out at 5:45. We'll have some pizza, some Bible study, and it'll be a good time. So that's this Wednesday. Other than that, have a great week. We'll see you next time.